Demon Seed.
You must be mistaken.
It's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, John.
Okay.
I'm like a coiled spring.
I mean, I'm more sort of like a strawberry bootlace.
You don't want me to have a slinky on Boxing Day when it's been overstretched, it's been knotted,
yeah,
and it just doesn't go down the stairs anymore, and it's fucking useless, and then you just chuck it in the bin.
Flopping around like a sort of...
Yeah, just a useless floppy mess that serves no real purpose.
An empty bag of skin, you know, with some veins.
You know. Some of this is literally pointless.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you needed a balloon, that's handy. You could pick me up and blow air into me. But which mouth would you use, Mike? The bottom or the top?
I would blow into you.
Yeah, because you... Oh, all right. Just very quickly before we begin.
I mean, I'd rather not blow into you. But if I was going to blow into you, I'd rather blow into your mouth than your anus, certainly.
Yeah. So how
Hands down.
Let's just say you're trapped on a desert island. You're with me, just a flap of skin with some veins in. You need a balloon so that you can have a buoyant aid to get you to the mainland.
Okay.
You need to inflate me. That's obviously key. You've said you use the mouth. How would you keep the bottom plugged up?
I mean, the sphincter's quite, you know.
It's quite tight.
Yeah. But if I was a desert island, I'd probably try and find a piece of bamboo.
Yeah.
I would use that as a, so it doesn't actually touch your mouth. I put that in your mouth and use that as a valve.
Yeah.
And then I would get some, preferably some driftwood or something, and just cover it in a tree sap or something gelatinous.
Right.
And I would hammer that into your arsehole as deep as I could to try.
Bang,
and,
bang, bang, right here.
You know.
Yeah.
And then just blow you up using the bamboo.
Yeah.
And then when I finished, I just put my thumb in the bamboo and straddle your torso, your belly.
Yeah.
And I use you as a boat. And then every time you were starting to deflate a bit, because that will happen.
Oh, yeah, naturally.
I'll take the thumb out and blow a bit more in and put my thumb back in again.
Do you know what? I would love that, because that would be a right boy's own adventure. Just you and me.
You'd love that, would you?
I'd love that. Free and easy on the highway of life.
I mean, the downside of it is you almost certainly would have died by this point.
Oh, yeah, but I tell you what, I'd be...
But what
I'd
a
be
way to go. Your life would have been in... Unlike your actual life, your death wouldn't have been pointless, because you'd have been saving my life.
Free and easy on the highway of life. And then afterwards, you know, to really mark it, you'd turn my skin into a pair of trousers that you could wear out to the pub and stuff.
Everyone's happy then, aren't they? And you live on.
Yes. Yes. And my face is across...
I go around to your mum and dad's on Christmas Day for dinner.
Wearing me
And they say,
trousers.
You're wearing the John trousers. I said, of course I am.
Yeah.
And then you say... Your mum and dad just give my little thighs a tap and say, fair play.
Not a bad lad.
He wasn't
just
a bad lad.
Just didn't know how to behave.
Yeah, he was a bit naughty. And he hung out with some naughty boys when he was younger, and he gambled with drugs, and he got into rap music and all that sort of stuff. But he wasn't a bad old lad.
Not a bad lad, just doesn't know how to behave. The words of Mr. Pugh, my chemistry teacher. It's a great one for you here, actually. I mean, we will start.
To be fair to him, old Pugh, wasn't he?
You lovely, lovely man, Mr. Pugh.
Interesting fact of the name Pugh. It's Welsh for... Comes from Ap Hugh, which means son of Hugh.
And he was
so
the
a lot
son
of times
of
you see a surname beginning with P. Oftentimes they'll be of Welsh extraction. So if you're in North America and you know someone called Pritchard, or Pugh, or Probert, or Priest, or Price, they'll all be Welsh names. Ap Rhys, Ap Rice, Ap Robert.
It's, you know, obviously Cornwall shares a very similar ancient language with the Welsh. The Cornish have a very, very similar words.
Cornish is almost identical to Welsh, correct?
Yeah. And the name Pendennis, do you know what that means?
That would mean pen is in head.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis either means Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, you're going to tell me that it means penis, which it doesn't. You'd be wrong if you said that.
Okay.
What do you think about?
Dennis the Menace's penis, the well-known cartoon character from the Beano comic. Was invented in Cornwall in 1700.
If you said pen peed in, then that would mean dickhead or penis head.
Yeah. But I didn't say that. I said Dennis.
No, but say if you did. You did say that.
Oh, these are great times. Now, Mike, last time we spoke, we were free and easy, two young lads in an open-top car cruising down a beach, listening to some great tunes.
And now somehow I'm sailing on you across the ocean.
What a great adventure this is. We really are going for it today. I'm sailing across the sea to be with my Uncle Sam. And remember that? Was it Madness?
I don't remember.
I'm sailing across the sea to be with my Uncle Sam.
This is what's never failed to amuse me and amaze me about you.
Mm.
Is that I've been to your house. I've seen your gold record.
Yes.
You had a recording career, the envy of most people.
Yeah.
And you cannot sing.
No, not a word.
You literally cannot hold a note.
Ask me to sing anything that I will know the words to.
Sing I Do Anything from Oliver.
I'd do anything. Yes, I'd do anything. Yeah. Anything. Anything for you. I'd be great on the stage. You've got a broom.
Oh, you zesty old man. You really are disgusting. I've worked out the problem with John's Chromebook now is that whenever he sings or gets agitated, it can't handle the increased bandwidth and it cuts out.
Hello?
He'll be back. There he is. He's back.
I'm back.
I was just saying to the listeners when he dropped out again that when you get animated and excited, your Chromebook can't handle it, and that is when you drop out. So you launched into your, I call it your General Cockney one. You do several accents. There's General Cockney one. You went into there, and it just couldn't hack it. It just dropped out.
Hey, Arthur, keep it down. Don't get too excited. You know what'll happen? Your computer will break, and that you know what happens then, don't you? It doesn't work, does it, Arthur?
So for the listeners who've never watched Steptoe and Son from the early 1970s.
Yeah, and who wouldn't have seen it?
Either who are younger than 45 or who live in North America, for instance, or any other part of the world that isn't the UK.
Yeah.
John was doing a very passable impression of Wilfred Bramble.
Oh, Harold, leave it out, Harold. I had to do it, Harold. They was looking at me through the window, Harold. You're old man. So have a look at those people in that manner.
And Harry H. Corbett. I mean, fair play to you. I mean, you'll have to take my word for this, listeners, dear listeners. They're very good impressions John's done there of two people you've never heard of.
You've never heard of me before. You disgust me. Absolutely disgust me. You horrible, horrible, dirty old man.
Which I find very amusing. It's like having my own little court jester sometimes. Because they are bang on impressions. But the fact that no one knows they're bang on, just I find amusing.
Here, Harold, I've got a story for you. It's horrible. It's right scary, Harold. It's all about brain cells in a dish, Harold. Oh, you disgusting, dirty pervert. How dare you God tell me a story like that? Absolutely wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, it is. Good, I mean, fair play to you, mate. You may be an absolute prick, but they are good impressions of.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
An absolute pleasure.
Who else would offer you their skin and allow you to swim the channel to safety and then wear that skin as a pair of trousers, Mike? Who? Tell me.
Well, it's just you, mate, to be fair.
Exactly. You know, I'm a great guy. Not a bad lad, just doesn't know how to behave.
Yeah, I would get that. Do you know what? I'd have that branded onto the arse cheeks of my John jeans I've made out of your skin.
Do you know what would be even better?
What?
Branded onto the arse cheeks, but then branded onto your own arse cheeks. So when you take them off, it's still there. What do you think of that?
What? That my arse says, not a bad lad, just doesn't know how to behave.
Yeah. Yes.
See, it's not a bad tattoo.
This is the best.
You only see porn films. I've never seen one, but some people get tattoos of a lewd nature.
Yeah.
I love anal, pussy magnet, etc., mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Bums and Woody's rule.
Yeah, Bums and Woody's rule, okay.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Big jokes, yes, please. All that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah. I drink the milk from boobs. What do you do?
Yeah, yeah. Check out my cheese. And there's just a big arrow pointing down to it.
Yes, yes, yes. I've got a phallus just written across there.
What do you reckon on this vagina?
Yeah.
Just in the just above the pubic hair there.
Yeah. My bum loves dicks.
All the classics. You know, all the stuff that you know.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon. I'd love to do an adult film.
You dirty, disgusting animal.
I'd love to do an adult film where I'm in flagrante with a young lady on top of her in the missionary, old school missionary position.
Yeah.
And then you zoom in on my ass cheeks and it just says, he's not a bad lad. He just doesn't know how to behave. Oh, fuck. What am I doing here? Anyway, John's gone off again. He got too excited again. Between 8 and 10 seconds normally.
Yeah.
No, he's back. He's back. He's back.
Sorry, I got over animated.
I was just explaining to listeners that's probably what happened.
I mean, they're not paying for it, so.
Oh, fuck, it was free, isn't it?
Oh, shit flinging monkeys. That's what they're going to get. Yeah. You know, just me in a cage.
No more than they deserve, to be honest.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. Yeah. But anyway, we're here not just to entertain and give people these wonderful insights into our world. We're also here to give people an insight
into the world. The gang, cause the boys are here, the boys to entertain you.
I always thought...
After to help you on the way, to raising the rafters with a hey, 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 with songs and sketches and jokes all new with us about you and Fear Blue. So meet the gang, cause the boys are here, the boys to entertain you. B-O-Y-S, boys to entertain you.
Again, another reference that those under 45 will have no idea. No idea.
45 be struggling. Because, I mean, that was out 45 years ago, I'd imagine.
Yeah, maybe you're right, actually. But
yeah, but if you're over 50 and you've got a British sense of humour and old school sensibilities, yeah, you'd have enjoyed that.
That was true. But again, people won't know.
Although, if that's the case, why you listen to a podcast?
Yeah, I think we've got the right audience, all six of them. I think we've got the right audience for this sort of thing.
We need to give them a name. What can they be called?
I think
I just realised something. Producer Reese has done, it literally popped into my brain now.
Oh, he's done.
Well, I was going to think we'd call them. I said, what are seeds come in? They come in a pod,
a ball bag,
and we're Demon Seed Pod. I've just realised that.
Right,
Demon Seed Pod.
Mm-hmm.
That's genius. I've just worked it out. The pod's got a double meaning, podcast and a seed pod.
See, that's the one clever thing out of all of this.
Fucking hell, that's worth the no money on its own.
Yeah, just getting that wordplay is amazing.
At Demon Seed Pod, if you want to tweet us.
You see how the brain works, Mike? See how the human brain works? It's fantastic.
What can we call the listeners?
Podlings. Podlings, poddles, pod boys, pod girls, seeders, CDs, CD UK, the clock strikes, Michael. Do you hear
it? It did actually, yeah.
The clock strikes.
Unfortunately, it only struck two, so by the time you said it, it had finished.
Oh, yeah.
If we were recording this 2 hours ago, that would have been a decent feature.
I mean, we have been talking for some time about using skin as a type of balloon, all sorts of Harry H. Corbett. So we've really
we haven't got to the thing yet.
We haven't got to the we're nowhere near it yet. But shall I try and sort of hammer it in?
Oh yeah, bang into the story now because I can. The sooner you start, the sooner I can fuck off.
We can get out then, can't we? Yeah. Brain cells in a dish, fly fighter plane. What do you think of that one, ready, Mike? Brain cells in a dish, fly.
I'm immediately disappointed. Go on.
An array of rat brain cells has successfully flown a virtual F-22 fighter jet.
No, they haven't.
The cells could one day become a more sophisticated replacement for the computers that control uncrewed aerial vehicles, or in the nearer future, form a test bed for drugs against brain diseases such as epilepsy. Mike, they're going to invent an aeroplane you can fly into someone's head and cure them of epilepsy. What do you feel about that?
I don't think it says that. It's not some sort of weird inner space.
I mean, it's a great idea. I mean, we've all seen Inner Space, and those of us who are slightly older have seen that other one where they go in a body and there's all stuff. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, it's a Fantastic Journey, something like that? Yes. Disney film?
Fantastic Voyage or Fantastic
Journey. Something like that, isn't it? Yeah. Fuck, what a voyage, something like that's called.
Yeah, fucking hell, we've gone small and we're in a ball bag.
Fuck Me, I'm Inside Someone by Disney.
Yes, classic.
I think it was a PG because the title.
Yes, great film.
Yeah.
Well, scientists are working on the reverse of that.
Fuck me, I'm inside a body, and then the little thing said PG contains bad language.
Yes.
Too late, but you've seen it.
I've seen it twice, and I loved it. Enzymes were used to extract neurons from the motor cortex of mature rat embryos, and cells were then seeded onto a grid of electrodes patterned on a glass Petri dish. The cells grew microscopic interconnections, turning them into a live computation device, explains Thomas DeMars, a biomedical engineer at the University of Florida in Gainesville, America. the United States, who carried out the research. This is novel work, says Mandayam Srinivasan of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
MIT, man, MIT.
Guys, I've come up with a way to get a freaking aeroplane into someone's head and destroy all brain illness. I just need a volunteer. Come on, do it for me. That's it. That's what happened.
Yeah.
It's novel work, says Mandayam Srinivasan of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who used electrodes implanted into a monkey's brain to move.
I see you're very au fait with Sri Lankan-based surnames.
I'm really up. What I do with this research is I find something and then I wait until I get it back and then read it, you know, usually after about a 25-minute intro.
Oh, I should say
that's
so.
Not about it.
Yeah,
it's not. Yeah. Anyway, Mandayam Srinivasan says that in the future, living systems could be combined with traditional computers to solve problems more efficiently. There are certainly things that biological systems can accomplish that we haven't been able to do with electronics. He says, for example, animals have no problem recognizing different textures or telling the difference between two different pieces of furniture, whereas computers find this very difficult. Mike, have you ever seen a computer recognize the difference between a table and a chair, a desk and a lamp, a window and a door?
No. I've obviously there are recognition programs that can recognize things, but
yeah,
I'm quite sure if you program a computer with, you know, what a chair looks like, what a table looks like, they can work it out.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I know facial recognition is the big thing these days. They use it in China to sort of find out what people are doing and then execute them. It's also used quite frequently for marketing purposes.
Yeah.
It's highly likely our computers are somehow logging our faces right now and using that information maybe to sell products to us, based on what we look like. What I'm saying is this information is out there already. One thing I've always wanted to try and do, which I may have mentioned to you before, was to take off my trousers, lie sideways towards the camera lens, so the bottom is facing the camera.
Right.
Put two eyes on top of the bottom, and then pretend to be a Zippy from Rainbow. Oh, George, oh, look at me, facial recognition.
Oh, you could do that, yeah. I'm always reminded of the old Rainbow song from our childhood.
Again, a reference that people outside of Britain and people under the age of 40 will love to hear.
Jimmy Alder in the jungle with George and Bungle.
Yes.
Jeffrey thinks he's rock. Zippy swimming with all the women and showing them his cock. That was a...
Yes, classic. Which reminds me very much, talking of animal-based sort of comedy songs.
Yeah.
Cocoa Pops, the well-known cereal. Don't know if you've eaten Cocoa Pops in your time.
That's what I was right now.
Rice Krispies with a chocolate covering, basically.
Yeah.
My name's Coco. I'm a monkey like you. I live in the jungle, not in the zoo. I keep my condoms in a little pink box, but I'd rather have a shag with Samantha Fox. Don't know if you remember that one.
I rue the day that I missed that one.
I know we're talking about, you know, brain cells being used to fly a fighter plane, but also, of course, Christ Superstar.
We had like joy, we had fun, we had Raquel Welch's bum, but the things we liked best were the boobies on her chest. Was in all the Big Little Lies and Junior.
Now that is good. That is
we
good.
We had joy, we had fun, we had Raquel Welch's bum, but the things we liked best were the boobies on her chest.
What about this? Mummy, 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 there's something in my nappy. I can't sit down. It's big and brown. Yeah, if I do, I'll squash it. And you'll have to wash it. And that's no joke. Yeah, the washer's broke.
That one? Lovely. Beautiful.
Classic. Anyway, back to brain cells in a dish.
Yes, I was broken hearted. I shit when I thought I'd farted. Remember that one? And of course, there was the classic on the ABBA theme, Mamma Mia, I've got diarrhea. Oh no, here it comes again. Then it goes into, yes, I was broken hearted. I shit when I thought I'd farted. You know, it's a beautiful song.
Brilliant. And again, ABBA's, they're a big name. So a lot of people.
I used to rock my kids to sleep with that one.
Singing about shitting yourself or the original lyrics?
Well, just the people at ABBA shitting themselves.
Well, it doesn't, with very small children, obviously you could sing anything and they don't understand.
You don't want them to feel dirty that they're doing that, you know.
No.
Natural when you grow up, you know.
That's true, actually.
Before you get toilet trained, you will shit your pants, that's what happens.
We've all dirtied ourselves. I did it on a tour bus in Germany once. Imagine that on a motorway. And that was one of the worst days of my life. Then I had to go into a hotel room.
It doesn't sound brilliant, yeah.
It wasn't good. I lay in a hotel room, was the Crazy Frog theme, which was massive at the time, played on a continuous loop. I lay in a hotel bed, dirtying myself for 12 hours, drinking only tonic water, and then had to go and do a gig.
What were you eating?
It was a bug that was passing around the bus.
All the GLC boys shit themselves as well?
We all dirtied ourselves at some point on that tour. Germany will never have the you know, it'll never be the same for me. Whenever I go back, I always think about how I lost control on the side of a snowy motorway. The driver had to pull over to let himself go. And just as he did...
Rock and Roll Life Stories by John Rutledge.
Oh, it's fantastic. The driver...
But you doing this with like Bob Harris?
Yes.
Bob's got a podcast. It's called Bobcast, I think. He's a...
Is it? Again,
maybe get on there and talk about shitting your pants on a snowy motorway or an autobahn, I should say, in Germany.
Why not? Anyway, back to the brains. Created in 2002, the Hybrot, or hybrid robot, a cup-sized robot controlled by an array of rat neurons grafted to silicon electrodes. The robot moves around in response to infrared signals that it converts into movement using a combination of its sensors and its living brain. Until now, no one had written algorithms that harnessed neuronal responses to fly a plane. The ultimate aim is to put arrays of neurons into unmanned planes or other dangerous situations where only living brain cells can be relied upon to make the right decisions. Now, I've just got to say here, Mike, if you were in your house now, your home.
I am.
Which is amazing because this is going to work, obviously. Let's say you had a jam jar and a few brain cells and you had the chemicals that allowed brain cells to meld together on some electrodes. You've essentially created a brain. Mm. At what point does that brain become life? Because if it doesn't quite drive your car for you, you are going to stamp on it out of anger. Are you taking the life of a half man, half machine?
Is one of those. This will be a real quandary going forward.
It's a bit of a quandary.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. At what point, you know, we've all seen Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
We all know that I'm currently watching the very, very good program Picard, which follows the life of Jean-Luc after he retires from Starfleet. And of course, his best friend was Commander Data.
Yes.
And he's heartbroken, and has been for the last 15 years since Data gave his life, albeit artificial life, for Jean-Luc Picard. So at what point does an artificial intelligence become something that is sentient? And as soon as it is sentient, doesn't have as much right to live as everybody else. This is the thing, John. You got to think about these things.
Yeah, I think you're...
But I wouldn't have a problem stamping on a petri dish full of rat cells, though. That'd be fine.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, I'm talking about Data from Star Trek. I went to school with a kid who looked like Data. This was before Data, Star Trek, the Next Generation even existed. So I believe he may have owned the rights to that image. He may be able to take them to court. I don't know. I don't know where.
Well, I think you're confusing like a kid who looked like Data with an anemic kid you were in school with.
Yeah. But this kid had his own microscope set at home. One day he came in and he said, put some of my own seed on one of the slides last night, lads. I said, did you see anything? He said, not much, but there was some slight movement. Terrifying. Anyway.
Well, there we go, mate. Every time you achieve issue, so to speak, you know, all those millions of sperm, that really each one of those could be a life.
Yeah.
So when you wank in your little sock there and your grief hole on your own, are you killing millions of sperm?
Are you killing millions of people? It's probably doing someone a favour, because what would you do if they all came to life? You'd have millions of them all hanging around your house all day long.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, statistically, one of those would be on the wrong end, wouldn't they? So,
yeah.
By just jizzing in a sock, you could be saving the world from the next Hitler or Pol Pot, couldn't you?
Always pour bleach on your seed, Mike. Always pour bleach on your seed.
Anyway, if you listen to this, don't pour bleach on your seed.
Okay. But until now, no one had written algorithms that harnessed neuronal responses to fly a plane. The ultimate aim is to put arrays of neurons into unmanned planes or other dangerous situations where only living brain cells can be relied upon to make the right decisions. De Marsay's array of 25,000 interconnected neurons were able to convert signals that indicated whether the simulated plane is experiencing stable conditions or hurricanes into a measurement of whether the plane is flying straight or tilted and then correct the flight path by transmitting signals to the airplane's controls. But a brain in a dish that can fly a real plane is a long way off, you'll all be happy to hear. Instead, the clear advantage is that you can put these things under a microscope and hold them very much like he did with his seed, and hold them still while I said his name. I shouldn't have said his name. I'll change that to...
just blank that out.
Just blank your blank out.
If producer Reese could put some hockey music from the hockey organ over that, that'd be great. Yeah,
that's fine.
Are you listening, producer Reese? Can you play some hockey music so we know?
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's just that isn't a hockey organ. That's just producer Reese shouting, yeah.
I've just got to say, the way he said yes sounded very much like, don't come in, I'm asleep.
And I think he's on the toilet.
Yeah, he's doing something to himself, isn't he?
Well, I think he's
apparently,
just...
I mean, I was speaking to him before you came on online today, and he does a thing called the cleansing, where once a month he gets a series of pipe cleaners, dips them in bathroom solvent, puts them up himself and spins them around on an electric drill. Apparently it does him the world of good.
If you listen to this, don't put bathroom solvent on pipe cleaners and attach them to an electric drill and put them up your anus, because you will, at the very least, end up in hospital.
But a brain in a dish can fly.
You'll be one of those people in the hospital that all the medics talk about. You'd be like the bloke who they find like a glass candlestick up his ass, or they find his dick stuck in an Action Man, those sorts of things. And if you're in North America, that's a G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Or ultimately find an Action Man stuck in your dick. Still shocking.
Equally painful. More so, if anything.
Indeed.
Trying to get a little Action Man up a dick eye.
Painful as hell. And I know you could lose it, but it still hurt. But a brain in a dish that can fly a real plane is a long way off one's potter instead. The clear advantage is that you put these things under a microscope and hold them still while you take a picture. It's a unique opportunity to monitor neurons in a Petri dish while they are actually performing calculations. For example, the neurons in a brain undergoing an epileptic seizure all fire in synchrony. And this pattern is commonly replicated by neurons grown in a Petri dish. So strategies for preventing the epileptic fits could be tested on these in vitro neuron arrays, says Potter. Although the work may sound spooky, Potter says the array of cells is far from resembling a real brain, as it lacks the complex structure and contains only thousands rather than billions of neurons. It's amazing, Mike, the human brain and technology. Where do you stand? How long do you think it'll be before we get a rat brain in a jar that can fly a plane for us?
I think AI is a lot further away than we think. And even futurologists agree with me there.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking big leaps there, John.
6 months?
I think it's at least 100 years before a rat flies a plane.
Okay. Have you heard of Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Okay, so this, I don't know much about it, but it's a sort of currency that exists outside.
It's a cryptocurrency.
Yeah. And again, I don't know what that means, but I say
no, I don't know either.
When I'm in groups of people, I say it.
We should have bought them ages ago, though, because they seem to be worth quite a bit of cash now.
I don't even know how you buy them.
But I don't know how you buy them either.
No, but what I'm saying is, if we both buy 10 quid's worth of crypto, and we have a bet on whoever wins, if we get a rat flying a plane before 100 years, I'll win. If it comes after 100 years, you'll win. That money will go to the trust, which is... I said his name again. That money.
Just put some hockey music over there again.
Put some hockey music over that, yeah. That money will go to the trust devoted to developing human seed as a way of creating an army of Romans.
Well, this is the thing about Picard is in the program. Please don't spoil it for me if you've seen more than I've seen.
Yeah.
But essentially, he has given birth, or certainly he's fathered, twin girls, even though he's a robot.
That's so weird. You know. A bit of Castrol GTX pumping it out.
They haven't gone into the ins and outs of how we did it. I don't know.
Yeah. Got it. I mean, technically, you think about it, if a robot wanted to make a baby, he might have to cut someone's working bits off, sellotape them over his own. And I mean, God, it's horrible to imagine. He'd have to use them, and then he'd have to use them very quickly before they went rotten. And then really he's only going through the actions. It's not still his. I mean, maybe I shouldn't talk about this sort of thing now. I don't know. But horrific. Anyway, I think we should round this one up. Should we get back in the old open top car, free and easy on the highway of life? What song?
Yeah,
come on. Hey, Mike, come on. Hair blowing in the wind, free and easy. Where should we go? Let's think where we're going to go.
You choose a destination. I'll put a tape in the tape deck.
Okay. Deansgate in Manchester. You put a tape in the tape deck, Mike.
Click. Didn't we almost have it all?
Come on, turn that engine on.
Love was all we had worth giving. The ride with you was worth the fall, my friend. Something, something to them, something.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to end.
Yes, because it's a good end of that.
Great stuff.
Goodbye.
Do we tell them about the name of the podcast and all that?
Oh, well, they listen to it. They know the name.
Yeah. Demon Seed Pod, take a tweet us, all that.
Yeah, they can do.
That's okay. Cool. Oh, God. It's happened again. I've been sick of my t-shirt, Mike.
Goodbye, John.
Help me. I think that's good. Is that over?
Nurse.
Cut.
Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move and the great conspiracy had been made.